Revelation chapter number 5. The Bible said in verse number 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" That loud voice that's in heaven. And if loud voices mess with you tonight, you better not be headed where I'm headed to, because there's going to be some loud things going on. He said, verse 3, "No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that set upon the throne." Thank you for standing tonight. We've started in Revelation 5 this evening. Last week we dealt with Revelation chapter 4, where John said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." Boy, I'm glad tonight to report unto you the church is going to be gone. It's going to be some of the grandest things take place that eyes have ever seen. Aren't you glad God has given us a promise that we will not go through the great tribulation? I'm glad in Revelation chapter 4 that here we're going to hear the shout with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we're going to get out of here. What a blessing to leave all of this that's going on. And it's going to amaze people when we're gone to heaven. And honey, I'm going to tell you, the talk will be over that day. What the old men of God's been preaching for the ages to come is coming to pass. Jesus is coming, and we're going to get out of here. Now in chapter 5, it begins to show some things going on in heaven. We see, first of all, one of the first things we see beside this throne of Revelation 4 is a sealed book. John said, "I saw in the right hand of him they set on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals." Now, this sealed book, this is the title deed to the earth. Now, we have a kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's 3 things in our Bible that could have been purchased back by kinsman redeemer. First of all, that as a person, if a person could not afford to do things, and if a person could not have things, then his kinsman redeemer, when he sold himself to someone in the slave market, could be bought back. And aren't you glad at Calvary's cross, Jesus paid the price and brought us back out of the stronghold of Satan. And boy, he paid the price. He began to be our kinsman redeemer. And then number 2, not only with a person, but with a wife. If the wife did not have a husband that left her to a brother, then certainly that kinsman redeemer could pay the price for that wife, for that bride. Can I tell you tonight in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, that our kinsman redeemer has already paid the price for us individually and for the bride of Christ. We've been caught up into heaven. He's paid the price. He's restored us to Him. But there's one thing left over that could be redeemed by kinsman redeemer, and that was the land. And can I tell you tonight that Satan is the ruler of this universe. The Bible said he is the god of this world. But now tonight in Revelation 5 and verse number 1, we find out there's a title deed to the earth. The Lord Jesus is fixing to come back to earth. And I hate to dawn this in on all these folks that study and planet earth, and they talking about this warming of the earth.
Jesus ain't trying to save the earth, honey. He's going to destroy this earth. He's going to burn it up one day. The Bible said it's going to burn as an oven. So all that you're gaining up in store tonight, it's going to burn up. We ain't taking it with us. But here we see our kinsman redeemer. He holds the title deed to this world. Now note this sealed book. First of all, notice how it was hailed. The Bible said in verse 1 that he saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne. There's a lot of men that are making big plans for this universe. There's a lot of men that's making big plans for the way things are going to go. But I'm going to tell you who holds it in his hand tonight. And that's the one that sits on the throne. God's not giving up nothing tonight. He's still God Almighty. And there's one sitting on the throne. And notice he had it in his right hand, showing the strength. Honey, let me tell you, nothing is going on that surprises our God tonight. There are no accidents. He's allowing things to happen, but it's unfolding just the way that he said that it would. We see him holding this scroll now, this sealed book, how it was hailed. But then number two, notice how it was hid. It was sealed. The Bible said that this book was written within and on the backside, and it was sealed with seven seals. Daniel talks a little bit about this book. In Daniel chapter number 12 this evening, let's look what Daniel had to say in verse number 4. Daniel 12 and verse number 4, he speaks to this sealed book. Here Daniel's writing, and he says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. One said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." Now look what he said in verse 8. "And I heard, but I understood not." Ain't you glad you found somebody else like that in your Bible? And then he said, "O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Now God has put some things down in this book. He holds the title deed of this world. We see not only how it was hailed, but how it was hid. Then notice in Revelation 5 and verse number 2, how it was honored. The Bible said, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy, not who is willing, but who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." Now, the Bible said, "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, or neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon." Can I tell you tonight that Noah was not able to open the book? Abraham was not able. Moses, or Elijah, or Job, or Daniel, or even Enoch, or Jonah, or Paul, or John, or James, or Peter. But the Bible said that he looked around and he found no man that had the honor enough to open this book. Can I tell you, at the end of the day, we're all human. We're all just one trap from being probably in the deepest pit of sin that we've all ever been in. We're probably all just from one mistake, making a wrong decision to wreck our total life or our ministry tonight. We're just one step away because we're all human. And we better realize there's one perfect tonight. He hung on a cross and He died for the sins of this world. And we better realize He's on the throne tonight. There's nobody that was worthy to take and open this book. I know a lot of good preachers in my life, honey. But let me tell you, preachers are men robed in the flesh. I know a lot of good singers, but they're just sinkers robed in the flesh. We better watch ourselves tonight and realize that there's only one worthy to do the things that God needs done. And certainly He took how it was honored. But then notice, if you would, in verse 5, notice how it was handed. How it was handed. So He said He wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book in verse 4. And then one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. Now, we see where it was handed. It was handed to Jesus and Jesus alone. I want to remind you in verse 4. John said, when I looked and I couldn't find anybody to open this sealed book, He said, I wept much. Can I tell you tonight, that's left our churches in America. Not only was He weeping that He could not find a man, but He was weeping for what was going to happen in our country. Can I tell you tonight, friend, when this church is taken out of this place, we're going to have loved ones to go through things that is nothing but literal torment on this earth. But honey, let me tell you something. There's a payday coming. All these scoffers, all these folks that's making fun of you tonight, being a Christian, saying it's not worth going to church, it's not worth living for Jesus. You just wait, honey. Hang on and look behind the curtains. One morning the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to get out of this place and you'll thank the God of heaven that you are saved and you're done right by the grace of God. You'll thank God for that morning. And so we find that He wept because the things that's coming to this world. Now we notice not only this sealed book, but tonight I want to deal with this sacrificial lamb. I noticed something that really stood up to me this evening in verse number 6. The Bible said, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. I found Him in the midst of some things. And isn't it amazing? You'll find Him, first of all, in verses 5 and 6, in the midst of weeping. Now, John was looking around at everything. And if it's ever been a greater illustration, I know nothing more than what's before us tonight. As we look around, we ought to be weeping of what's happening and what's going to happen. But all of a sudden, the Bible said, one of the elders said to Him, weep not. Because the Lion, the tribe of Judah, He's prevailed to open the book. Ain't you glad Christ is on the winning side? Ain't you glad He didn't stay in the grave? He said the Lion, the tribe of Judah, He's prevailed over every enemy that would ridicule Him and say He didn't get out of the grave. And because He's prevailed, guess what? That means we prevailed tonight. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad the God of glory lives in me tonight. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank God, honey, the world ain't got around us tonight. We're saved by the grace of God. He hath prevailed, He said. Jesus hadn't lost nothing. He's on the winning side. He hath prevailed. And so we find Him now in the midst of weeping. John said, I was a crying and I was a weeping till somebody showed me the Lamb. And he said, you know what? I looked and I found out the Lamb was in the midst of my weeping. I wonder how many times when things have come in our life and it really took us to our knees and we began to weep. Before long, we looked up and there we saw the Lamb was right in the midst of our weeping. Ain't it a blessing, honey? If you want to find the Lord Jesus tonight, you might not find Him in the local Baptist church, but You go down yonder where folks is a-weeping and folks is a-hurting and folks is a-crying. That's where you'll find our Lord, honey. He can't celebrate in your riches. He never had no riches, but He can celebrate. He can fellowship in your suffering tonight because He knows about your suffering, glory to God. Don't tell me you don't know how you feel, honey. He's done been there and done that. The Lord of glory is in the midst of our weeping tonight. Well, I'm glad when nobody else cares, I'm glad there's one that cares for me. We find Him in the midst of the weeping. Matter of fact, in John 20 and verse number 11, I don't believe that a child of God's ever had to cry by their self. Matter of fact, God never promised us on this earth that He would take away our tears. He just said He would be in the midst of our tears. But glory to God, I'm going to run about me a pine tree in a little bit. Where I'm headed, honey, there'll be no tears in glory. He's going to wipe them away that blessed day. And thank God, when we cry tonight, He's in the midst of our weeping for the glory of God. In John chapter, Lord goodness, I've never had to cry by myself. I've cried a lot. And there's been a lot of people brought me a lot of tears. But I've never cried by myself. Because the Lord of glory's always been in the midst of my weeping. And I thank God for somebody that loves me like that. When nobody else loves you, He loves you. We find now Mary got some bad news. Said verse 11, Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. She couldn't find Him in John 20 and 11. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. She seen two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. They said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid Him." When she had this said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. How many times have we seen Jesus there when we was weeping and we didn't know it was Jesus? May I tell you, I told you, you've never wept alone. You know, when somebody come by and you was a weeping and your heart is broke and you didn't know them, you didn't know that was Jesus, did you? You didn't know it was Jesus, did you? But He loved you enough. He come to you and you're weeping. But you didn't know it was Him. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She's supposing Him to have been the gardener. Lord, I wonder what He's going to look like. Said to Him, "Sir, if thou had borne Him hence, tell me where you've put Him. Lord God, I got to know." She said, and Jesus said, "Mary." She turned herself and said to Him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren." That's what we need to be doing. Say to Him, "I've ascended to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." My goodness, that's not the whole story neither, honey. He's a coming back. Boy, ain't you glad He's in the midst of our weeping. In Psalms 30 and verse number 5, can I tell you tonight, just because you're a Christian and just because you're saved, don't mean you're not going to have some tears and some trials and some heartaches. In Psalms chapter number 30, boy, I wish I could tell everybody tonight, if you was loving God and you served Him, that you wouldn't have no problems and you wouldn't have no tears. But a man after God's own heart said in Psalms 30 and verse number 4, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Oh my, aren't you glad He's in the midst of weeping? And then you'll notice back to our text in the book of the Revelation tonight, chapter number 5, this sacrificial lamb. Not only do you find Him in the midst of weeping, you find Him in the midst of wounds. In verse number 6, He said, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, And the four beasts in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. You know why? Because he died for you. He's still bearing these wounds of Calvary in glory. You remember in John 20, Jesus came and Thomas wasn't there. I think we've just preached that not long ago, didn't we? Amen. John 20, verse number 11. Matter of fact, he wasn't there when Jesus came by. And I've noticed these people that when they're not there, when they miss a service, boy, I noticed some things about it. Get the tape Sunday and you'll find out what I said. Amen. Shake that head, it'll help you tonight. We find in John 20 and 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We've seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger in the print of the nails, thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, Jesus came and he stood. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he's in the midst of the wounds. Isn't it amazing what he did for me and you? Can you imagine when he hung on that cross and he died to take our sin debt? When he cried, "It's finished," that Roman soldier came by with a spear and pierced his side, and therefore out came out blood and water. Isn't it amazing what the Son of God done for us? In Isaiah 53, it'll do you good to read this passage sometime. Oh, it speaks volumes to our heart if we just read it in Isaiah 53. You know, a lot of times we think just because the service is shouting and running and carrying on that, man, God's really doing something. You know, when God's doing most is when it's quiet. And I want you to look what he says here in this quiet report. He said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" In Isaiah 53. He said in verse 3, "He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Look at verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." We find him in the midst of the wounds. Aren't you glad that he was wounded for our transgressions? And when we're in glory, honey, let me tell you, there'll be no mistaken identity to where the Lamb is, because he'll be the wounded Lamb. And we're going to look on them marks of Calvary while the ages roll on, and we're going to say, "Dear Lord, thank you for going to that cross to allow me to be here in this place with you." This sacrificial lamb, he's in the midst of weeping. He's in the midst of wounds. But you'll notice back in that text, he's in the midst of worship. The Bible said, verse 8, "When he had taken the book, the four beasts, 24 elders, fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, not water, but by the blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth."
He said, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. I want to give you a mathematic lesson tonight. I want to ask a question in verse 11. Some of you math whiz, tell me what this is. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Now, I can get there. But this is where I can't get to. And thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing." We find Him in the midst of worship. Worship means worth-ship. He's worthy of our praise tonight. Matter of fact, He says this, said, we're going to worship Him. And He goes in verse number 12, and He says, because He's worthy as the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Power. In Matthew 28 and 18, I want you to notice now a few things that will be done this evening. Matthew 28 and 18, He has all power in this earth. You ought to underline some of these in your Bible. God is not half powerful. He is God Almighty. Now note Matthew 28 and verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake to them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now His power. He has power in all heaven and all earth. Notice He has power in creation. Colossians 1 and 16. Colossians 1 and 16. There the Bible says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Now there we see that He has power in creation. He said all things were created by Him. And then He has power in maintaining order. Look in verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's holding this place together. He's maintaining order. Hebrews 1 and verse number 3. There the Bible says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now I'm going to tell you, by the word of His power, He can do all things tonight. So we see we worship Him. He's worthy because of His power. Then He said, not only because of His power, but He is worthy because of His riches. He said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9, watch what the Bible tells us tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. If you're saved tonight, friend, you've got something that money cannot buy. If you have eternal life, you have something that all the kings in hell wish they had what you had tonight. And so then we see also in Haggai chapter number 2. Boy, I'm glad this is in my Bible. In times of recession. Haggai chapter number 2 And boy, God has proved this to me. Haggai chapter number 2 and verse number 8. The silver's mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And you know what? He can turn a loose oven anytime he needs to tonight. We brought nothing in this world. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 7. 1 Timothy. Which what the Bible says. We brought nothing into this world about riches. 1 Timothy and 6 and verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. You can underline that. We ain't carried nothing out. We brought nothing in this world. And then in 1 Timothy 6 and 17, notice what the Bible says. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now I want to say two things right there tonight before I move on. Number one, we came in this world with nothing. And if whatever you have tonight, you know what? God gave it to you. And it may not seem that it's a lot this evening, but when you lose it all, it's going to be a lot. And then he says that he's give us all things to enjoy. You know, God doesn't mind us having things. He don't want things to have us. And you know what I've noticed in pastoring people? People do pretty good as long as they're broke and busted. But when God goes to blessing them, they can't handle the blessings. You know, blessings ought to bring us to God. But most time, blessings take us from God. We think God has blessed us so much to have a boat, so we've got to go use it on Sunday. God's blessed us for a nice country club membership, but the only day we can play golf is Sunday, so we need to use that membership. So we got to be careful. God's given us everything to richly enjoy, and we ought to enjoy things. We ought to not let things enjoy us. God's house is priority plus minus nothing. We ought to be faithful in the things of God, give God His place, and enjoy the things that God gives us, but we've got to keep it in the right perspective. Riches. Thank God we can worship Him because of His power. We can worship Him because of His riches. Isn't it a blessing to know you serve a God? You've got a Father tonight. We'll never let your table run dry. And you say, preacher, He ain't done nothing for me. Oh, really? Are you in a wheelchair tonight? Anybody walking here on a cane or a CNI dog this evening? Is anybody hitchhiking home? We're sitting in one of the nicest churches in America. We got a King James Bible that's being taught to us. We got ears we can hear, a mouth we can speak, eyes we can see, clothes on our back. Not a person in here ain't got family tonight. You know why I say that? Because this is your family. And you're going to find out when your flesh and blood run out on you, you're still going to have family in God's family. Amen. Thank God for riches. I'm glad He's rich tonight. And you know something? They worship Him because of power, riches. And then He said because of wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Have you ever wondered how to get wisdom, not knowledge? Books, studying brings knowledge, but how do you get wisdom? I know a lot of smart, ignorant people. But wisdom, how do you get wisdom? Somebody said that knowledge could take apart a model. But only wisdom can put it back together. I don't know what all that means tonight, but I know what this Bible means about wisdom in James 1 and verse number 5, and we ought to be praying about it. Because you know what? We can have a head full of this Bible and not know how to use it and apply it. I hear a lot of people say, well, preacher, I've read the Bible through 5 times. How many times have you read it through? I don't care if you read it through 100 times. You ain't got enough sense to apply it. You might as well not even read it. Wisdom. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him call the preacher. Let him run down to mom and daddy's house and see what they think. No. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, I love this. I've got to underline. That giveth to all men liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you need wisdom tonight about a situation, you ought to ask God, God, give me wisdom of how to handle this. God, give me wisdom of what to do now. Let me tell you, child of God, walking with Jesus is one day at a time. You never know what He's going to ask you to do tomorrow. And when He asks you or challenges you tomorrow, you better be praying, God, give me wisdom of how to react right. We need wisdom. And let me tell you something, honey. When I make a decision, it's just not affecting me. It's affecting my children, my wife, my church. It's affecting a lot of things. And before we make choices, we better be thinking. What's the repercussion of this decision? What's this going to affect if I do this? Don't never tell me, leave me alone, I'm only hurting myself. That's hogwash. That don't work here. Because that's a lie. You're affecting a lot of people, and I'm affecting a lot of people. And we need sound wisdom of how to make decisions. You just don't quit your job and start another job. You better ask God if that's the job He intends you to have. You just don't lay something down and go to doing it because that's what you want to do. You better pray and ask God for wisdom. Some of you that are single tonight, you may be praying for God to send you a wife or a husband. You better use wisdom in that thing. Amen? You young people better use wisdom in who you date. You better use wisdom. You better not let your flesh make the decision. Everything that glitters ain't gold. Amen? A lot of folks have got them a new cart. It's running down the road and it looks good a little while. But when it gets over there in that threshing floor and hits them hard places, it ain't going to work. You better stay with what's worked. You better stay with what's blessed you. Don't get too big for your britches. God can do without either one of us tonight. Amen? And I will say this just as nice as I know how to say it. God showed it to me. When families leave the church where the Holy Ghost is moving, it's their loss. Brother Philip, there's been a lot of times I said, what am I going to do now? But you know what? God filled that spot up just as quick as I could blink, He filled it up. Because you know why? God ain't got to have me. And so don't think that you're doing God a favor coming to His church. Don't think that. You're blessed. And you don't even know how blessed you are. And if I told you some things, and all you'd do is think I'm sitting up here crowing about what I've seen in the last 3 years. It's amazing what's out yonder out of these walls. We're so blessed, and we better watch the decisions we make. And I'm going to tell you right now, young man, the devil's got an X on your back. You're faithful to the house of God. You're trying to serve God. He's got an X on you. Ma'am, you're growing in the Lord. Your baby is in this choir saying he got an X on you. He's got an X on his church. I thank God I'm in the battle tonight. I'm glad I've got bumps. I'm glad I've got adversity and problems. Somebody called me the other night and said, how in the Lord are we going to keep pastoring? I said, son, if everybody could pastor, we'd be out of a job tonight. Take it ever how you want. It ain't easy. It ain't easy being a daddy when your young'un's that goofy. And I know yours don't, but mine's has. I know your little crow's the blackest. That bird's going to come home roost one of these mornings. And you better be trying to steer them young'uns in the right direction. Where was I? Wisdom. Then strength. Satan's strong, but let me tell you something. Christ can bind him. Some of you saved tonight because God the glory come in and kicked the devil out of your life, and you ought to shout about it. Amen. This little old choir up here singing tonight, we all ought to have been standing praising God. That some of them ain't got to go through what me and you had to go through. Because we was ignorant. And our britches got too big. And our head got swolled up. And we didn't need God no more. And so He let us laying flat of our backside. And honey, when you land like that, you'll always remember who put you there and how you landed. Strength. Satan is strong, but Christ can bind him. I'm glad in Revelation 20 He's going to chain him. Going to cast him in a pit for 1,000 years. Going to let him out for a little while, and then He's going to burn the devil. And He knows He has but a little time. That's why He's after you young'uns tonight. It's bad when young'uns can buy dope from church young'uns. It's bad when somebody in the church tries to get your wife. Amen. I ain't scared. Matter of fact, I done found out people really want the truth and they want somebody to have the guts to say it. You know what's the craziest thing? I seen old boy brutally raped a girl and killed her. Brutally raped and killed another one. Caught both of them. They've got him on trial. And they said his DNA is lined up to the crime scene. He's guilty. And you know what our country's saying? The police tricked him into giving his DNA. What does that matter about anything? What does that matter? He was there. He done it. Hang him. Hang him. By the courthouse bail. I tell you why I say hang him. Turn to Romans 13. That's why I say hang him.
Turn him out and let him kill your young'uns. You little liberal, spineless. That's what's wrong with our country now. Ain't nothing wrong no more. Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. The powers that be, they're ordained of God. I can't believe he put Obama in office, but he did. And this is a bad thing, redneck. We got to pray for him. That's right. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Watch, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. The law, the jailer. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. That's our problem in our country. Nobody's scared no more. Be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he's the minister of God, look, a revenger. What does that mean? Getting even, don't it? A revenger to execute, that means to carry it out, wrath. That ain't a spanking, honey, that's dealing with. With wrath upon him that doeth evil. Why do we set them in there and feed them and clothe them 12 years? Have a trial and say, well, they're crazy. Turn them out. We know that's crazy. Amen. You know something? My wife said, let me out at the mall. You go to the gun store and shop. I said, honey, I'm scared to leave you at the mall. I'm scared for my grandbaby to be turned out at the mall. You know why? It ain't no fear in our country about getting caught. Because spineless politicians has smoothed their way in and took this Bible out of what God had to say. Now I'm all about grace. But honey, let me tell you, if I blatantly break in your house and rob and kill your family, it ought to be a payday for me that morning. Amen. He wasn't all crazy. He knowed to run. Wisdom and strength. Thank the Lord, he has strength tonight. I'm going to tell you something else too. We ought to teach our children, Romans chapter number 13, law enforcement's to be respected. School teachers ought to be respected. Buddy, let me tell you what, I had a principal would smoke your britches. That's our problem now. Teachers. It's bad when teachers are scared of sixth graders. All in authority. Sunday school teachers. If your kid back talks to a Sunday school teacher and you hear about it, you ought to take them in that office and wear their britches out. I've noticed this about people. Well, my young'un's too good to go down there. Is that right? Boy, I'm going to say something, get me in trouble. I better go on. You listen to me. You got to let your young'uns be young'uns. You got to know where they're at, what they're doing. You keep them pinned up like a bird dog. Let them turn 18, turn them out. They ain't going to know what to do. I ain't talking about turn them the world either. I'm talking about let them be young'uns. Let them get out and get dirty. roll him in the mud. You got a little boy, put him on some overalls and sling him through the gravel. Amen. You got little girls, let them play together and enjoy it. Or do you think somebody's going to mar your youngin'? If you take a bird dog, matter of fact, I done seen this. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to close. I went and got me a dog at Cummins, Georgia. He'd never been in the country. He'd been on a chain all his life. And I called them folks, and they said, if you'll come get our dog and give him a good home, we'll give him to you. I said, I'll give him a good home. I rode up there on Saturday, 2 hours and 3 hours back in traffic, put him on a chain. Dog had never been off a chain. All of a sudden, he come off the chain and bloop, bloop. He didn't live at my house 3 hours after I got him home. He didn't know nothing about the road. He didn't know nothing about nothing. You can't cage youngers up and expect them to be human. Know where they are. Know where they're spending the night. Know who they're running with. But give them a little rope. There's a balance in everything. You don't throw them to the world and hope they make it. But you've got to let them know it's a real world. What you going to do when you're gone? They like little zombies walking around. I'm just trying to help you by experience. And when they do wrong, tear them up. And tell them you love them. Discipline them right. Don't whip them mad. Discipline them. Dust them off so they pick it up and go again and don't do it again. Know who they're running with and what they're doing. Be mom and daddies. And don't think your young'uns won't. Because they human. I wish I'd get more amen. Y'all act like you're scared tonight. He said we're going to praise Him because of His power, His riches, His wisdom, and His strength. Because of His honor. Christ is dishonored in this world. But honey, let me tell you, we're going to a city where He's honored. And let me tell you something, at Liberty Baptist Church, Christ's going to be honored here. This thing ain't about me and it ain't about you. And it ain't about nothing else but for Christ to be honored. And glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Galatians 2 and 20. Galatians 2 verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Glory be to God. To all God be the glory. You know, Sunday morning thing come to church tonight. People stand up testifying. That's the way it ought to be every time we come to the house of God. We ought to get so excited and give God the glory for what He's done for us this week. Do you realize tonight when you go home, there's 6 foot of yellow line between you and death and that's it? One wrong swerve, one kid on a cell phone. I ain't got time for that sermon. Come back to Carolinas. We're running pretty fast. And the left lane, there was somebody just, nearly stopped. And they said, they ain't going nowhere. I went around, there's a little girl on the cell phone. Yak, 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 yak. Boy, we said outlaw them things in a car. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to God be the glory. We ought to thank Him He's let us live this week. And then blessings. Bless means to make happy.
Boy, Psalms 103, bless the Lord. Bless His name. And never forget about all of His benefits. God's good to us, folks. Stand with us tonight. God deserves all the honor and all the glory.